In this session, we're going to take a look at deductible payments.
Let us start by refreshing ourselves on the layout of the income tax pro forma. In front of you, you will see a typical income tax pro forma that differentiates between employment income, bank interest, grossed up, and dividend income, again, grossed up.
From total income and before arriving at net income, we are allowed to take a deduction for what are known as deductible payments. Deductible payments are essentially expenditure incurred by a taxpayer in a tax year for which he or she will receive a measure of tax relief. Deductible payments are deducted primarily from non-savings income. If such payments wipe out that non-savings income, they will be deducted from bank interest, and then, if we have extinguished our bank interest, the deductible payments will be set against any dividend income. Total income less deductible payments give us net income. From net income, we knock off the personal allowance to give us taxable income. You will see that the effect of a deductible payment within the tax computation is to reduce net income and, in turn, to reduce taxable income. If that leads, in turn, to a reduction in the overall tax liability, the amount that is saved on account of paying the deductible payment is called the tax relief. If an individual pays tax at a marginal rate of 40%, he will effectively have saved 40 pence for every £1 of the deductible payment that he pays in the year. Now let us have a look at the types of deductible payment. Deductible payments essentially fall into two categories, either types of royalties or interest paid on what we call qualifying loans.
More about qualifying loans later. Let's now turn our attention to royalties. Royalties will either be copyright royalties or they will be patent royalties. A copyright royalty is typically a royalty paid to an author or a writer or a musician for the use or reproduction of his work. A patent royalty is a payment made to an inventor for the use of a particular invention or particular process. Copyright royalties are paid gross.
This means that the amount of the copyright royalty paid in the year is the amount that we deduct as a deductible payment in the income tax computation. So no grossing up is required. Patent royalties, on the other hand, are always paid net of basic rate 20% tax.
As a student, I always remembered that patent royalties were paid net because the word patent includes the last three letters N, E and T, albeit not in that order. Copyright royalties are paid gross because the word copyright contains the letter G. You will remember that in your income tax computation, we always include the gross amount of income. So if income is received net of tax, we gross up at the appropriate rate.
The same principle applies to deductible payments. If a deductible payment is made net, for example a patent royalty, what is entered into the computation is the gross amount. So we need to gross up the net figure for inclusion in the tax computation. As the patent royalty is paid net of 20% tax, to convert the net into the gross, we need to gross up by a rate of 100 over 80. So, for example, if you were told in the question that a taxpayer pays a patent royalty of £800, what goes into the tax computation is the gross amount of £1,000.
As far as qualifying interest is concerned, this interest is always paid gross. Tax is never deducted at source for payments of qualifying interest.
So, as with copyright royalties, the amount of interest actually paid in the tax year can be deducted as a deductible payment.
Let us now have a look in a little more detail at patent royalties.
Patent royalties are typically paid by self-employed traders, and as we mentioned previously, they are always paid net of 20% basic rate tax. So, let us take the example of a trader who is due to pay a gross patent royalty of £10,000 to an inventor. Because the royalty is paid net of basic rate tax, what is paid over to the inventor is the net amount of £8,000. This way, our trader will obtain basic rate tax relief at source. The inventor, on the other hand, has received income which has suffered 20% tax at source. He will be able to reclaim this from HMRC. In this instance, we are interested in the tax computation of our sole trader. To deal with the patent royalty in our trader's tax computation, we do two things. The first thing we need to do is to deduct the gross amount of the patent royalty as deductible payment. Here we take the amount actually paid of £8,000 and gross it up at 100 over 80. So the deductible payment in the tax computation is £10,000. This is deducted from non-savings income to arrive at net income. The effect of deducting £10,000 from taxable income is essentially to save the trader tax on the £10,000 at his marginal rate. If the marginal rate is 40%, he will therefore save an additional £4,000 in tax. However, do not forget that the amount the trader paid in the first place was not £10,000. He only paid £8,000 and, as such, he received £2,000 worth of tax relief at source. This means that if we leave our tax computation unaltered, our trader would have saved £6,000 in tax, thereby obtaining tax relief at the very generous rate of 60%. If the trader is a 40% taxpayer, HMRC will happily give him 40% relief on his deductible payment. So, in order to make sure that excessive relief is not given, HMRC insists that the basic rate tax relief obtained at source, here being £2,000, is added to his tax liability at the bottom of his income tax computation. This can appear a little confusing the first time you see it, so let me show you how it works by taking you through an illustration. On the page in front of you, you will see the example of Walter, who is a trader. He has trading income of £50,000. Every year, Walter pays a patent royalty of £4,000. Remember that this is paid net of basic rate tax. Walter pays this to an inventor for the use of a registered invention. Our requirement is to calculate Walter's tax liability. Walter has non-savings income of £50,000. From this, we deduct the patent royalty, but because the patent royalty is paid net of basic rate tax, we need to gross this up at 100 over 80. So the gross deductible payment here is £5,000. This takes Walter's net income down to £45,000. We deduct his personal allowance to arrive at taxable income of £38,525. Let us now tax Walter's taxable income. Walter has taxable non-savings income in excess of the basic rate threshold, so he will pay tax at 20% and 40%. This gives him tax of £7,930. Perhaps the best way to consider the effect of the patent royalty is to look at what the tax would have been had the patent royalty not been there in the first place. We deducted the gross amount of the patent royalty, i.e. £5,000, to arrive at net income.
Because Walter is a higher rate taxpayer, he pays tax at 40%. If that £5,000 had not been available to reduce his total income, Walter's tax would have been higher by £5,000 at 40%, i.e. his tax would have been higher by £2,000. So, having the £5,000 within the tax computation has so far saved Walter tax of £2,000. But let us remember that Walter did not actually pay a patent royalty of £5,000.
The amount he physically paid was net of basic rate tax. So, the amount he paid was £4,000. This means that so far, Walter has obtained two lots of tax relief. He has obtained 40% within the calculation, and he has also obtained 20% at source. HMRC are not happy with this, so they insist that we add back the tax deducted at source on the patent royalty. The tax deducted at source is £5,000 at 20%, being £1,000. The effect of this is to increase Walter's tax liability from £7,930 to £8,930.
This adding back of basic rate relief deducted at source increases the taxpayer's liability and prevents the revenue giving excessive tax relief. This is a rare instance when you will see the tax liability go up in the bottom half of the computation. Finally, it is very important to stress that we only need to do this adjustment for basic rate deducted at source when we are dealing with patent royalties, as copyright royalties and qualifying interest are paid gross in the first place. Any add-back of basic rate tax relief is not an issue.
Let us now take a look at qualifying interest. Interest paid on what we call qualifying loans is deducted as a deductible payment in the tax computation. The types of loan that qualify for tax relief are easy to find in the tax legislation, and you will find them between sections 388 and 403 of the Income Tax Act 2007. Let us go through each of these in turn. Loans taken out by an employee to purchase plant and machinery for use in his employment qualify for tax relief. So, interest paid on those loans can be a deductible payment. You will find this at section 390. The relief does not apply to loans to purchase cars. A common example of this in practice is a loan taken out to buy IT equipment, such as desktop or laptop computers, or printers, etc., as more and more employees choose to do some of their work from home. If an employee takes out a loan to purchase a computer, and that computer is used wholly or partly for business purposes, the interest on the loan qualifies as a deductible payment. Relief is also available where a partner purchases plant and machinery for use in his partnership. In both instances, only interest paid in the year of the loan and the next 3 years will qualify for tax relief.
A loan taken out by an individual to purchase shares in something called a close company is also a qualifying loan. A close company is a UK company controlled by 5 or fewer shareholders.
The individual claiming tax relief must either work for the company or hold at least 5% of the shares. The rules can be found at section 392. Relief is also given where an individual takes out a loan to provide funds for a close company to use in its business. Once again, the lender must either work for the company or hold at least 5% of the share capital. A loan taken out by an individual to purchase shares in an employee-owned company or a cooperative qualifies for relief under sections 396 and 401 respectively. This is probably the least important, as you will not come across it very often. Then, finally, under section 398, a loan taken out by an individual to buy into a partnership also qualifies for tax relief. This is quite common in practice, where an employee is invited to become a member of a partnership. The partnership will often require some sort of capital contribution from this employee. The employee may then take out a bank loan to fund his capital contribution. Any interest paid on the bank loan will qualify as a deductible payment under section 398. It is worth stressing again that interest on qualifying loans is paid gross, so it is the amount of interest that is actually paid in the year that is deducted.
As such, there is no concept here of grossing up. One final thing to mention is that there is no limit on the amount of the loan that qualifies for tax relief. Special rules exist to restrict relief on loan interest if the borrower recovers capital from a company or partnership. Assume an individual borrows money from a bank. The individual uses the money to buy shares in a close company.
Relief will be given as a deductible payment for any interest paid on the loan. The taxpayer then sells either some or all of those shares. Regardless of what the taxpayer actually does with the sales proceeds, under Section 406 of the Income Tax Act 2007, he is deemed to have used the capital recovered from the company to have repaid the bank loan.
This will act to restrict the interest relief he can claim. The same principle applies if the taxpayer were to have given the shares away. In this instance, he is deemed to have sold the shares for their market value at the date of the gift, and then to have used those deemed proceeds to have repaid the loan. This will be the case for all gifts, even gifts to the taxpayer's spouse. This is one example of recovery of capital that leads to denial of interest relief. Another example would be where a partner in a business sells his partnership share, for example on retirement. Again, the sales proceeds are deemed to have repaid the loan, and interest relief is denied.
Marcus took out a bank loan of £50,000 a few years ago. He used the money to buy shares in a close company. He qualifies for interest relief in respect of this loan under Section 390. On the 6th of November 2010, he sold half of the shares for £40,000. He used the sales proceeds to buy a new car, but he did not repay any of the outstanding loan. During 2010-11, Marcus paid interest of £3,600 in respect of the loan. The capital recovered on the 6th of November 2010, i.e. £40,000, is deemed to have repaid the loan. This will restrict the loan interest relief which Marcus can claim, so he will not get full relief for the actual interest paid of £3,600. Marcus will qualify for full interest relief from the 6th of April to the 5th of November 2010, i.e. on 7/12 of the actual interest paid. On the 6th of November, he is deemed to have repaid £40,000 of the loan. For the last 5 months of the tax year, only interest on £10,000 of the loan, i.e. on 1/5 of the loan, will attract relief. The interest relief will therefore be £2,400. This will be Marcus's deductible payment for 2010-11.
Effectively, we have pretended that Marcus used the proceeds from the sale of the shares to repay part of the loan. Notice that we do not restrict according to the proportion of shares sold, half of them in this illustration, but instead it is the proceeds of sale that restrict the relief.
Have a go at the question on the screen in front of you, which tests you on computational aspects of deductible payments.
Once you arrive at the figure of Trevor's tax repayment for the year, check your answer by clicking the button at the bottom of the page.
Let us now take a look at Trevor. He has employment income of £8,000. He receives gross interest of £1,500 on a national savings account. The Building Society interest is grossed up at 100 over 80, and the dividend income is grossed up at 100 over 90. From total income, we deduct the qualifying interest of £2,500. This gives us net income of £5,500 of non-savings income. Personal allowances reduce net income. Note here that the personal allowances wipe out our non-savings income, taking our taxable income in that column down to zero. The excess personal allowances of £975 are deducted from the bank interest. We are therefore left with taxable bank interest of £15,525 and a taxable dividend of £4,444. We now tax this taxable income. As taxable non-savings income is less than £2,440, here it is nil, the bank interest is first charged at the starting rate of 10%, up to £2,440. The balance is taxed at 20%. the dividends fall wholly within the basic rate band. Therefore, the £4,444 is charged at 10% only. This leaves Trevor with a tax liability for the year of £3,305. From this, we deduct tax credits, being PAYE of £400, tax on the building society interest of £3,000, and tax on the dividends of £444. This will leave us with tax repayable of £539. The whole of this £539 is repayable, because Trevor can deem it to come from the PAYE or the tax on the bank interest. This concludes this session on deductible payments.